It's amazing how God orchestrates things. Obviously, Sarah's just been interviewing, if you call that an interview, Jordan and Amy. But that wasn't what I had in mind as I was planning this week, what I'm going to talk about. But you'll see what God was planning. My title for this morning's message, I don't often give you the title, but is We Are Meant to Be Sent. So if you could turn with me to Luke chapter 9, that would be really fantastic. I'm aiming for 15 minutes this morning because the kids are in, but it might turn into 17 and a half. I'm going to read to you from Luke. That's not including me reading the Bible, by the way. You have to start timing when I finish this, okay? Luke 9 verse 1 says this. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all the demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food or money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you've abandoned these people to their fate. So they began their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. Verse 10 says, when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. I'll refer to that a bit later on. This week I was in a coffee shop. We went to visit Ellis and Lib in Malvern. We drove to Tewkesbury. And there was a coffee shop there, and we sat in there, and there were like quotes all over the wall. And one of them caught my attention. It should appear on the screen right now, from T.S. Eliot. And it says, we shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. That takes a little bit of thinking about. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time. T.S. Eliot is really just writing there. It's in one of his poems, Little Giddings, Little Gidding. And he's writing there really saying, if we go from where we are, when we return, our eyes will be open to things that we didn't see before we left. If we go and see the world, when we return, like our own place, we'll see so much more because our mind has grown, our vision has grown, the things that we see as important have grown. For 3 weeks on the run, I've been staying like two weekends away and then with Ellis this week. And the moment I came home and got into bed at home, it's like, oh, to be in my own bed. And you don't really appreciate your own bed until you've been in a rubbish one. Been to a couple of Christian conference centers. They really have bad beds at Christian conference centers. And you come home and you appreciate what you've got. Well, T.S. Eliot's a bit further on than that. He's saying, you come home and you realize this amazing thing that you never saw before because you've explored everywhere else. So this quote really caught my attention. If you've ever spent any time in part of the developing world, you know that you return home, and apart from the culture shock and all of that stuff, it makes you appreciate what we've got here because you've seen what you don't have when you're somewhere else. T.S. Eliot is obviously famous for his poetry, but actually he was an anthropologist. He studied anthropology as well as many other things. Because he was one of those academics that study loads of stuff. But as he was at university, he studied anthropology. He was studying people. So he knew how we work. He knew how we think. He knew what changes us or does not change us. And in a sense, he's saying we need to go somewhere and do something to really appreciate what we've got at home. Because he understands that to grow as a person, staying home is not an option. Now, I'm not literally talking necessarily about staying in your house, but staying in the environment that you've always been part of. Staying in the place, in the comfortable place, means we don't grow. Getting outside of that stretches us, grows us. Our culture, which is the way we live, the way we think, the things that we do, it won't change unless either we change it or something changes it. It doesn't change if we just are passive. It doesn't change if there's no trigger to change it. That might be something we do, or it might be something that's done to us that changes us. Let me give you an example. Our culture changed 3 years ago when COVID hit and we all stayed in our houses for 3 months. And we all became much more insular as a result. And we won't change back to being less insular. You might think it's a good thing to be insular. You might think there are some good things about COVID and what it did to our culture. There probably are. But there's some things about our culture that are not as good now. And the only way to change it back is to do something. If we're passive, it stays the same. Sometimes culture changes because of external things, wars, COVID, all sorts of stuff we could use as examples. You know, the culture in Ukraine will be changing right now because of what's going on around and probably in the rest of Europe as well. Sometimes it changes because of a deliberate strategy. We were hearing this week about some people that decided they were going to change culture, and so they created media campaigns and they created a whole load of stuff to happen that has changed our culture. And these people 50 years ago were planning to change culture, and now we look and we see it has changed. That could be for the good or it could be for the bad. But we need to understand that to change culture requires either a plan or something external changes us. But if we're passive, it won't change. Here's the thing. T.S. Eliot hit on something that Jesus was doing 2,000 years ago. T.S. Eliot understood that for us to grow requires us to go. Jesus was doing that with his disciples here in Luke chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 10, he sent 72 of his disciples out. Because he knew that the way to grow is to go. We're not meant to stay at home. That means to stagnate, to say the same. In a sense, the opposite of growth. And so Jesus, 2,000 years ago, sent his disciples. The best description of the word disciple is apprentice. That's, you know, the understanding. It's you watch and you learn and then you go and you do. And that's what an apprentice does. You know, I remember years ago when I was working on the farm, I had to learn to weld. So you read the books and watch the videos. Well, we didn't have videos then, but the only way to do it is to try. And you can have it explained to you and you can have it shown to you. Somebody else watching through a mask as they welded. And then he said, right, here's the welding gun. Off you go. The only way to learn is to do it. And that, in a sense, is the only way for us to grow as people of God, is by going and doing. We can learn a load of academic knowledge. We can learn about the Bible. We can learn about Jesus. We can learn about growth and discipleship, but until we do it, until we go, we don't really grow. And so Jesus sends his apprentices, his 12 in Luke chapter 9, Matthew 10 is recorded as well, and I can't remember where in Mark. Then he sends in Luke 10, he sends out 72, and they return, and particularly they return in Luke 10, the 72 return, and they say, wow, even the demons do what we tell them to. Because they've suddenly understood, you know, Jesus gave them authority and power, and they knew that in their brain, but they didn't know it until they did it. And we can know the knowledge in our brain, but we don't really know it until we do it. Sam is back there somewhere. He was back there somewhere. Driving instructor. You can learn to drive on paper. You can read the books. You can watch the videos. You can understand everything about driving. But you've not learnt to drive until you sit in a car and you learn to drive. You can know the stuff. I'm trying to remember. There was a movie in the 80s, I think it was Short Circuit, where the robot flicked through the driving book manual and they said, now I can drive. Got in the car and drove. Well, he didn't actually. But anyway, that isn't how it works. We don't learn to be a disciple of Jesus by reading the manual, although we do. It's then we go and do. And so as Christians, we have to learn what it means to step outside and do something different, to step out of our comfort zone into something else. When Jesus sent those 12 and 72 out, I think they learnt more in those, I don't know, was it a few days? Was it a couple of weeks? I don't know. But I think they learnt more in that time than all the teaching Jesus had given them before. Because they had this stuff in their head before, but now it's in their heart. Now they know and believe that they have authority. But here's the thing. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And says to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said to them and he says to us, you were in Acts chapter 1, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They knew what it meant to be sent. First of all, to the towns of Judea, Israel. Later, to the world. Because going somewhere changes you. The second thing that I want to just point out this morning is if you don't go, you may be sent. Amy said they didn't really have a choice. This is not in my notes. This might add to my 17 and a half minutes. It is my dream that this church becomes a church that equips the rest of the church. That we grow leaders here that lead churches all over our nation, all over the world. And I know that that is my dream and has been for a long time. And I see other churches where that's happened. And I could take you. One of them is Dagenham, where Amy is sort of based-ish now. That church in Dagenham, there are leaders all over our nation. Probably 20 or 30 leaders leading churches in our nation that all come from the same church. And I look at them and I think, I want that for here. And 4 years ago, I decided it's too long been a passive thing. It's too long been a thing where I hope that will happen and I pray for that to happen. And we need to do something. So I took these two and George to Young Lions. And it was just the four of us, wasn't it, that first one? I'm too old for this stuff, but I decided I'm going to get myself out of this comfortable place. And I went to be a coach. They went to be delegates. I went again 2 weekends ago as a coach, which is madness because I'm far too old for this. But I want to see young people developing to leadership. And the only way that can happen is not by being passive. It's about doing something about it. So I took them then. We'll be taking more in future. I look at some of you guys, lots of you guys, and think, there's leadership there. So how am I going to develop it? And some of you need to be saying, there's leadership here. Or maybe not leadership, but there's authority to pray for healing. We've heard about that this morning. Or there's authority to be an evangelist and lead people to Jesus. So whatever it be, it's in here and you've got to take a step to get it out, to go and do. And so, You know, the disciples, those early disciples, they knew what it meant to go. Jesus said, come and follow me, and they left their nets and they went. They knew what it was to get out of their comfort zone. And then within 3 or 4 years, Jesus has gone to heaven. They're settled into a church that's growing rapidly in Jerusalem, and they're comfortable, and thousands are becoming Christians. And suddenly, God has to bring persecution to that church to make his mission, because the mission was happening in Jerusalem and Judea, but not Samaria, not the ends of the earth. And so persecution comes on the church to change the culture that's settled in Jerusalem to going to the ends of the earth. And the Jewish Christians are scattered and preach the gospel all over the world. And you can read the rest of Acts and see how far they came. Thousands were being saved, but they'd settled into Jerusalem. And Jesus wanted more from them. And for those of us who are in leadership and in ministry, he wants to grow you more. You need to step out more and do more new things. And if you don't volunteer to go, God may send an event like that persecution, or like COVID, or like something that causes us to grow, to go. So just to conclude with this morning, we've got to make a choice for growth. It's not passive. It doesn't just happen. We have to change our culture by changing our behavior. We need to come out of our comfort zone and take some action that will change us. And I want to ask you, what might that look like in your life? You know, that might be this week. It might be praying for somebody who needs you to pray for them. Or it might be being a witness to someone. It might be saying, oh yeah, over Easter I went up the hill to the crosses procession. Or something like that you've never done before. Something to stretch you. Here's the key, it's got to stretch you. Don't do something that's comfortable. I was having a conversation with Steve before about exercise, and I was explaining what I was going to talk about, and he's like, oh, it's like going to the gym and exercise. Unless you stretch your muscles, unless you put them beyond their normal limit, they won't grow. And so those bodybuilders, they're really almost doing damage to their muscles to grow, because they're stretching themselves. And in a sense, that's what we have to be doing, to grow, to be more. We come out of our comfort zone and do something. The disciples, when Jesus sent them, they were sent to do this, to preach the kingdom of God and to pray for those in need. Well, how about one of those two as a challenge for you and me this week? To tell somebody about the kingdom of God. To pray for someone that needs prayer. Take a small step out from home this week and do something that you wouldn't normally do. Go and do something. And I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to ask that God would give us opportunities and would almost smack us in the face so we can't miss it. Because I think often he gives us opportunities and we're half asleep, we don't see. Let's pray that God would just, you know, wake us up so that we see the opportunities that he is giving us. Be a witness for Jesus this week. Preach the kingdom. Pray for them. For someone who needs. Just really as I close, and this is, it's a bit of an aside, but it's perhaps the most important thing. When the disciples, the 72, came back in Luke chapter 10, they said, they came back rejoicing. Even the demons, they obey us. And Jesus said, rejoice, don't rejoice that the demons obey, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So most important of all, and I don't know everybody here, and this is why I'm doing this, most important of all is your name written in heaven? Have you submitted yourself to Jesus? The gospel is very simple. The good news is very simple. Jesus died and took our sin upon himself, that we can be forgiven, And we simply have to ask him, turn away from our sin, believe that he has forgiven us. So I'm going to pray, first of all, if anybody's never done that, to give the opportunity to do that. But secondly, that God would give us opportunities to grow this week, to step out of our comfortable place, to go and do. Father, we want to thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace for us. Father, we thank you that though we are sinners, you died for us, that we can be cleansed, purified of our sin. Father, this morning we come before you repentant, saying, God, forgive me, cleanse me, make me whole, make me a child of God. That is our prayer, that we are your children, that we are yours and you are ours. And Father, our response to your great love is that, Father, we want to speak of you. We want to proclaim your kingdom. We want to see people set free from bondage. Father, I pray this week you'd give us opportunities to go and do. Father, I pray this week you'd give us opportunities to speak of you, of your kingdom, of your grace, of your righteousness, of your holiness. Father, I pray you'd give us opportunities to pray for people who need to be set free from stuff. And Father, I pray we wouldn't miss it because they're not subtle. Father, I pray you'd make them obvious to us. Father, I pray you'd give us courage to step outside of our comfortable place and to go to be explorers. So, Father, that when we return, we will see even greater image of you. Father, I want to pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.